We'll open the meeting at 5:30. Two? Yeah. And item two, acknowledgement of traditional owners. Respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners, the Kariata people whose land we're on today, respectfully acknowledging their contribution of Kariata elders past, present, future. And all working together for the betterment of the future city of Port Hedland. Item three, recorded some attendance. I have an apology for Okay, so three, approved lease of absence. There is no.
What issue?
Disclosures of interest. Do I have any disclosure of interest from members? Neil? Item 4, response to previous questions. 4.1, questions taken on notice from the public at Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting held on the Tuesday, the 5th of July 2016. There were nil. 4.2, questions taken on notice from committee members at the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting held on Tuesday, the 5th of July 2016. There are nil. Now, CEO, is it? Should be questions and questions. Again, it should be statements, shouldn't it?
That's true.
We get that wrong every week, don't we?
So these are questions that are taken on notice that aren't answered at the previous meeting. So
statements. Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay, very good. 4.2, there are nil. Item 5, applications for leave of absence. Do I have any applications from members? No applications, so there are nil. Item 6, attendance by telephone instantaneous communications. Do I have any applications? Nil. Item 7, public time. Important note to members of the public that we do not have. This meeting has been recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute taken purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is reminded that in accordance with section 616 of the Town of Port Hedland local law and standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. Members of the public also reminded that in accordance with section 6174 of the Town of Port Hedland local standing orders, mobile telephones must be switched off and not in use during the meeting. 7.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 5:36. Do I have any questions from the public? No public are attending, so we'll close public question time at 5:36. And open public statement time, as there is at 5:36, and there are no members of the public, so we'll close public statement time at 5:37. Item 8, questions from members without notice. Ms. Panganis.
In the last meeting, you cited a specific clause in the standing orders.
Yes.
Relating to what can be asked.
That's right.
Yeah, so could you please cite that standing order again?
I don't have a copy of standing orders with me.
Here's a copy of the standing order.
I'm sure we can. Do you want to have a look at that? See what. governance, can its governance quicker.
Which is the section?
The section in standing orders that relates to business questions must relate to business in the...
Questions relating to the what is in the agenda, I think.
Yes, business.
You limited the questions that can be asked you in the last meeting because of that standing order.
I can't remember. Okay. Did you, Miss Benganis, did you have a look to see if you could find it? Or? Okay, we'll take that question on notice and put it in the minutes.
Okay. Just through the chair on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're Audit and Risk Governance Committee, as I said, I quoted last time 7.72 that I was talking on that. Because we're a Risk and Governance Committee, it should be a standing agenda item, risk.
Okay, well, I'll come to you in a sec. Have you any other questions, Ms. Pangan?
Yeah, in relation to that, I remember in a number of meetings, at this stage, everyone can ask a question, pretty much anything under the sun. So I recall Mr. Atwood asking questions about lighting, about roads, and all that. So was it a breach of the standing order at the time, or is this something that is it should be really limited to what is in the agenda?
Okay. As you know, this might be my third or fourth meeting. I am getting acquainted with standing orders, and as I get acquainted with standing orders, I'll be applying them. And because this meeting goes on for hours and hours, so whatever is related in the agenda, if it's allowed to be asked, it will be asked. And if it's not, if it doesn't comply with standing orders, there are other avenues where those questions can be asked of staff.
So my question is, was it a breach of the standing orders? Those.
Okay.
Question that was asked in previous meetings.
Okay. We'll note that question and see you take that on notice and give an answer at the next meeting.
Yep. Clarify, are you talking generally about Mr. Atwood's questions?
No.
Do you want a specific example?
No.
Your own question? You just mentioned Mr. Atwood.
Yeah, it is one of the examples I recalled when there were... In this item, there were questions one after another, and that's a question that sort of still stick to my mind. But I know there were a number of questions as well over those period. You can check the recordings. So I just would like to make sure that this is not something that when you ask a question, it should be limited to what is in the agenda, because before, I don't think it's within the agenda. I just would like to seek that clarification. That way I will be guided in the future. Yeah, and I think that's probably something that should be clarified.
We'll get that question
and just put that in writing. That way others won't have the ability to utilize different forums to promote certain things.
Any other questions, Ms. Magnus?
No, I think that's all.
Councillor?
Just relating to what Mrs. Panganis just brought up, I remember that meeting, and Mr. Atwood was advised at the meeting that the Audit, Risk and Finance wasn't a place for him to bring up about the light. There was other avenues for him.
Mm.
So he was told at the meeting that it wasn't the place in which...
Okay, well,
No questions.
through the chair, if I may.
Yes.
I think that last comment was I think to the point in that whilst technically I think when we respond in writing to the question, which we will do so, I'm pretty sure I'll confirm that you know, every committee member is entitled to ask questions, whether it be as a member or as a member of the public. Dare I suggest that you're not an elected member, therefore you have to use your member of the public perspective. That aside, I think your observation as chair is about the fact that questions like lighting or potholes or things that aren't really the domain of the ARG committee, that the people should be using our time valuably as an ARG for the ARG's principle and purpose, and that other questions like lighting or due respects should and could be asked outside of the committee meeting process by using our normal processes, works requests forms, contacting officers, speaking to the employees outside the meeting process. I think that's the intent of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
through
chair, can I answer that?
We're down around the table. You've got an option. Mr. Whitwell, Councillor Whitwell.
No, I've got nothing to
Mr. Atwood.
Yes, I have a few questions. My participation is a committee member, part of the public, which is endorsed to come on this committee. If I see a risk out in this community, that's what I'm here to bring up about.
Yeah.
Is there a risk of someone over in Finucane Island slips down those steps and breaks their neck over there? The Shire's...
Your question
is... The Shire is. I'm putting forward the answer. You let him have a go.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I have my go?
With the potholes, I'm asking for a question, Mr. Atwood.
With the potholes, it's just the same question. With the potholes, anybody can go around those potholes, flip a car in those potholes out there. And it is a problem. This Shire can be sued for it. Getting on to questions, I'll quote 7.12. Internal audit. We talked about this at the last meeting. It was going to be put up as an agenda item, I assumed. And it was also talked about in the workshop. What was said at that meeting by Dale was there is no funds for an internal auditor, that they were looking into some sort of avenue so that different people can take up aspects of the internal auditor. Is something going to be put up to us regarding that internal audit? First position, because we sat down here, did a paper on it.
Mm.
Because the only way this committee can operate is through assistance of internal auditor. We cannot go to the external auditor on
so
some
you're
problems.
Asking whether we have appointed an internal auditor or whether we're going to appoint an internal auditor?
I'm asking the same question again. Is,
okay,
is there going to be a paper put up like we said at the workshop?
See ya.
Through the chair, at the present time, we're obviously going through the adoption of the budget. That work is still underway in regards to what budget allocations will be put to resourcing, programs, events, capital projects, operational expenditure. One of those lines will be around staffing to support the audit risk and governance work. An internal auditor is a position that is identified in the structure. It as yet doesn't have any funding aligned to it.
Just through the chair, could I put up a recommendation from this committee here that the councillors find the money to employ an internal auditor ASAP? I'd like to move that motion.
You can put that in as a motion of notice to the committee.
Oh, did you need to ask for a second, but
hang on. Get some clarification on that. That's not possible, is it?
Yeah, through the chair, I'll just defer to the Director of Corporate Services.
Yeah, through the chair, a motion at this point in time is not normally recommended. Certainly, statements, questions from members, and foreshadowing the fact that there would be a notice of motion for the next meeting is totally appropriate. No concerns about that. We don't have a general business section in the agenda either, so that would have been another potential opportunity. Motions that of late notice or urgent business might be another opportunity that might be accepted by the people in the room at the time. That would require a vote in order for that to be accepted. at the time, later in the meeting.
So, Mr. Atwood, as I have done, and I explained this last meeting, I've done many occasions put notice of motions up at the meeting. All right, so then the staff can go away and make sure that that notice of motion is legal and fine, and it comes to the next meeting and everybody gets an opportunity to have a look at it. Have you got a notice of motion that you've written out for us to accept at the moment?
No, I haven't, because I assumed that this would be an agenda item, as discussed at the workshop.
Okay,
let's go. The next one is from the workshop. I asked, is there a policy going to be done on the fuel out of the landfill?
Through the chair, obviously, we have done got some information on the fuel, and the information has been provided in regards to usage. So we are obviously working through that, and at the present time, from my understanding, we actually have a policy in place for the management of fuel cards and how they're utilised and how fuel is procured.
Through the chair, if I may, further to that, yes, there is an outstanding matter on our ARG work plan, if you will, of which there's 170 items, one of which goes to the fuel at the landfill. It does show as outstanding as we speak. However, we have had confirmation that our processes have been amended since the audit of going back, I think, about March or so that particular audit was undertaken. So since that time, I've received written confirmation that our process has been changed to deal with the issue. I'm happy to ensure that that's forwarded to all members after today with the minutes, and also update our outstanding items that we're going to actually be looking at later on today to actually reflect that we've actually got a process in place.
Acting CSF, can we clarify that we're going to get that information off the Director of Finance sent out to the committee when?
Through the chair, I can do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay, very good.
Next one is I'd like to see an agenda item put onto our agenda is I talked to the auditor and I asked him about risk assessment on other councils around WA. He said they do quite a few council risk assessment for them, and yet this council doesn't get a risk assessment done by the auditor. I'd like to put forward that we get something to us as a committee so that we can endorse it to put it to the council.
I have no problem with that, but again, I think it should either be a motion put forward to the CEO, isn't it, on the... Can you explain how we can do this for Mr. Atwood, whether it be a motion of notice or an email to the administration suggesting that item be put to the ARG agenda?
Yeah, look, through the chair, if an email can be presented to the CEO requesting that as a member of the ARG committee, that can be done, so we can just await for an email outlining that request. I would like to just expand on that a little bit more, if possible. And this comes back to the use of the auditor. This committee has the rights, obviously, to contact and request information and audit information and clarity. The moment that individual members go and start approaching the auditors, we receive the bill for that. That is billed back to the town. And unfortunately, there is no actual authority for individuals to approach our auditors on behalf of the committee without the express permission through resolution of this committee to do so. So we just have to be really clear around that we're all working under the same parameters, because if everyone decides to go off individually, we will be charged as the town for the use of the audit time. So if there's specific things that you'd like the auditor to discuss or provide information on, more than happy to do that via the resolution of the committee, and I'll request that that's the way we do it. So we are obviously managing our expenses, but also making sure that everyone is getting the same information to make this, to make be informed and make decisions from.
Have you received a bill so far from the auditor? Because I understand the presiding member also contacted the auditors, as he mentioned during the worship.
We have received invoices.
Can we get clarification on that, on who is authorised to ring the auditor, when, and you know?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Just through the chair, the first I've heard of it, so I'd like to see it in black and white.
Yeah, that's right.
My other thing is,
clarify the previous question that you had?
With the risk assessment to the auditor?
Yes, what are we going to do with that?
So, email will be sent through, and the... We did, just to carry on a little bit further on that, we did have discussions with the auditor. It is a town responsibility, and we did ask the auditor for some input and advice. The auditors did say that it was the town's responsibility, and they're not specialists in risk management. And with that, we've gone back and had that conversation internally and are proceeding with the internal risk assessments. We've got, obviously, the framework in place now too. Manage the risks.
So, Mr. Atwood, you're going to send an email requesting
that. I've sent other emails as well. With the other ones, which I'd like to see as a general business, as a general item for this committee.
General business?
Yep.
CEO, is that the is that the decision of the committee to put that on, or?
Double chair through governance.
Okay.
My understanding that sits in the whole, as we went through with OCMs recently, and setting that is a decision. I would say we'd have to go back to council to set that, as they are, as you are a committee of council.
I concur that the council recently adopted that policy, which considers council meetings, special council meetings, and council committee meetings.
Okay. So. Who sets the agenda then of the agenda structure of the audit and finance? Is it the council or is it the committee?
So through the chair, that would be set by the council.
Okay.
For any subcommittee that it's set up.
Okay. So I would suggest, Mr. Atwood, if you would like general business added to the agenda of the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting, then you would have to request that through council. Is that correct? It could be requested through the Audit and Governance Committee and then go to council.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So again, it would be... suggest that would have to be through a resolution of the ARG requesting that there was an adjustment to the agenda structure to allow for general business to be part of that. Notwithstanding that, obviously general business would have to be set within the terms of reference of the ARG as well.
Okay. Well, in following my previous advice, I would like a notice of motion or an email sent to the CEO requesting that to be put at the next ARG committee meeting to be discussed by the committee. Mr. Abbey.
Can I go to two? Sorry, you
finish? I'm going to finish it now. I've got a page, sorry. Get up to page one, is it? Page 13. They come to attendance. It names first committee members. I've got X, Y and Z sitting at this table, which, can I have them names listed at all on attendance or what?
Well, 3.1 is attendance of committee members and community members. There is no section there on officers. So if you would like to see officers, you know, apply to that, then maybe a request put in as well.
I'd really like to see, because I'm sitting down, I know the people around the table, but I'd rather have, when I was out on committees, I'd like to know who was around my table when I'm talking.
Yes, the officers are here to advise the committee on, you know, the general regulations, act, that sort of stuff. Would you like to add to that, CEO?
Through the chair, agree with the presiding members' comments. We're here to advise, we're here to win on voting. So, again, it's to provide assistance, either that through follow up and opportunities, as you've already outlined, Mr. Edward, in regards to the new items you'd like to see, and facilitating that through the administration.
Just through the chair, my previous meetings, when I wanted a staff member to come to the table, I'd ask them to come to the table shortly. I just wonder whether it's going to be, you know, in your standing orders that we do have these people on the table all the time.
I would prefer to have as many staff here as I can, so we get you know, a cross section of advice from everybody. But you know, it's obviously limited to who we can get here at the time. And if you would like them to be noted in the agenda meeting, I'm happy for you to put a request in for that.
Well, I'd like to put a request in, because I'd like to know who's in this meeting and what their titles are, sort of thing. Well, I think I should be entitled.
Okay,
that.
Well, that's no problem. Can we have a request from you to the CEO?
Yep, it'll be presented as well. Yes.
Okay. Do you have a another question, Mr. Abbott?
No, that'll do for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Councillor Whitworth?
It's just about one of the suggestions that Mr. Edward brought up, and that was the question of whether he could directly contact the auditors. And my question is, what is the, we understand that it's cost money, but the question is this also a benefit in the sense that it does preserve independence of the committee members? In other words, somebody might have a particular problem they want to bring up, and whoever else it is doesn't want to even address it, right? It doesn't say it's less worthy. And I'm just wondering whether it could be a small hole where a certain amount of money put aside for that sort of activity. Mm. I know from other committees that that's what they're allowed to do, right? I don't know about council committees, but that's a way of safeguarding. Just another safeguard.
So, yeah.
Through the chair, there is obviously elements of the budget that's set aside for advice, consultancy fees, etc., to support the governance of the organisation. So there is obviously a small allocation to support that. Obviously, it is as information shared with council, even if it comes from an individual member, it's shared with everybody.
Yep.
Again, it's the same if individual people would like information, that should maybe come through the administration to provide and then share with everybody, so everyone is on the same page as you get with council information.
Is there a possibility of just looking into that issue? That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
So through the chair, absolutely. We've said we'll come back with clarification around that.
Thanks. Okay.
No other questions? Thank you, members. Item 9, a declaration to all members that have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper before the meeting. Can I have a show of hands?
Yeah, mine's in an electronic format.
That's fine.
Is this considered?
Excluding this one.
I'm going to leave the table.
No.
Here we go again.
No, it's actually not included in
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we can say excluding this.
Okay. Item 10, confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. 10.1, confirmation of minutes of the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting held on Tuesday, the 5th of July, 2016. The officer's recommendation is that the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee confirm that the minutes of the Audit and Risk Governance committee meeting held on Tuesday, the 5th of July, 2016. The true and correct record. We'll have a mover. Moved Mr. Whitwell.
Oh.
Councillor Whitwell.
Oh.
Through the chair.
Do I have a seconder? Do I have a seconder?
No, seconder.
Okay. Councillor. All in favour? Oh.
Anybody against?
Do I have any against? Against, Miss. Mrs. Panganis. Okay, speakers for Councillor Whitwell, Councillor
Newbury.
Speakers against Councillor, Ms. Panganis. Councillor Whitwell.
I'm finding it very difficult to speak for because I don't know what it is I'm speaking about in terms of the difference, right? And so would it be possible to get an indication of the difference, you know, what the issue is?
Well, I've read the minutes. I don't have an issue, so we'll there's no requirement for you to speak or have something to say for it, so...
Yep.
A second speaker for?
Well, I read the minutes too and I didn't think that there was anything wrong with it.
Okay. First speaker against, Ms. Panganis?
I just would like to seek some clarification on something about the minutes because I'm still confused about the question I raised at that meeting. Regarding the previous CEO, the acting CEO mentioned something about the matter about the departure of the CEO was confidential. But the presiding officer mentioned something about the CEO not complying with his performance indicators. So that's my dilemma. And so I'm not so sure. Could you please clarify what exactly should be captured in that? I need an answer. Okay. I need an answer.
So my understanding is that there was no mention of the CEO or the contract in the last agenda.
Question. Yeah, so it's a question from members.
Yeah.
Mm. So what's reported in the minutes is question asking why the matter in regards to the CEO was not presented to the ARG committee. Answer provided is that it's not a decision to be made by the ARG and it's in fact a decision to be made by council, and as the matter is confidential it cannot be discussed. And then the question was asked if the decision could be made available to the ARG committee, with the answer being no, given the fact that it's between the CEO and the council, and it's in regards to employment and contract for senior employees, which is a council decision, which is for the ARG.
But the point I'd like to raise there is that the presiding officer made a statement in that meeting that the CEO failed to comply. It's a compliance issue in regard. That's his word, comply with this KPI. So I just would like to sort of, you know, if you can sort of clarify that. That's all. If there's got to be just probably one answer. If it is confidential, it's confidential. But you added a statement, which confuses me. Yeah.
So as it's captured in the minutes, as an anchor reflection.
Through the chair, further, if I may, in my view, the response is adequate given the question, notwithstanding that the presiding person may have alluded to other matters. The matter before the council and ARG is one that also may or may not be divulged in terms of recording the minutes. Now, if the minutes record matters that the CEO or acting CEO determines should not be recorded in the minutes because of fear of reprisal or subsequent action from other parties, then it's the acting CEO's prerogative to ensure the minutes don't contain such information. The acting CEO has a right to ensure the organisation is protected at all times from liability,
yeah,
including defamation and other action as well.
Yeah, but it's. I asked the question and it was a statement provided by the presiding officer. I just get confused with that. It's quite confusing for me. It was meant to be confidential, but you said that...
Ms. Panganis, officers have said that the reply has been adequate.
So your statement was not correct or not?
I don't recall. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, I think probably... because you're the one who added the statement, I just asked a question. I took the what the acting CEO said.
Just like we have stated on a number of occasions previously, the answer to your question is adequate. Is there any other questions, Ms. Panganis?
What do you mean by adequate?
The question has been asked and the question has been answered.
Yeah. What about your statement in relation to the statement of the acting CEO? That's my point. So I think there's got to be some reconciliation there in terms of your statement.
No, I don't believe so.
But you made a statement, so...
Do you have any other questions?
That's just my point. You made a statement. No. That's my point.
Could we see the transcript?
You sure can?
Right, okay.
So through the chair, all the audio recordings of the ARG?
And council.
They are
excluding available, confidential information.
Are available on the website to download free of charge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I have no problem with the transcript. It's what I heard at the time. That's why I got confused. It's meant to be confidential, but the presiding officer made a statement. So just a bit confusing for me, that's all.
Mm. Okay.
through the chair, the question would be, in theory, arguing against the moving of the motion, unless there is an amendment to amend the minutes to reflect some change that was desired.
Yeah, but I'm limited by the statement here. So. I was just seeking
theory,
clarification.
Yes.
So, do you have an amendment to...
No amendment.
Okay, so I have a mover and a seconder to accept the minutes. We're going to take it to a vote. Oh, that's right. So, do I have a speaker for? Speaker against? Write a reply? Okay, I'll take it to a vote. Those in favour of moving the minutes, show of hands. Those against? The vote is 3-2. And it is... 3-2. It is passed.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, item 11, announcements by presiding member without discussion. They're in real. Item 12, reports from officers. Disclaimer. Members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on committee decisions on items on this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by the town has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. So, item 12, reports from officers, 12.1.1. Proposed policies, corporate credit card, fraud and corruption, prevention and whistleblowers, public interest disclosure. Do I have any points of clarification?
No, we've been through this.
Yeah, we've been through this.
Mr. Atwood.
Page 20. Risk. Thing there. Risk likely is based on history with existing controls. Rare one.
Where's this one?
Page 20.
Yeah, I've got it.
Risk likelihood.
All right.
Based on history
right,
and existing
it.
Controls, it's rare.
Okay. CEO, do you have a...
Through the chair, that is correct. There's been minimal history of fraudulent or whistleblower or credit card misbehaviour. So it has been, the likelihood is rare, but as in regards to the history of existing controls.
The credit card was brought up by the auditor.
See you.
Through the chair, and that's right, and that has been, controls been put in place based on that recommendation.
Yeah, but you said the risk based on past history.
Well, it is.
So I'm just trying to clarify that I get the past history was we do have problems with the credit card.
Through the chair, we do not have problems with the credit card. The auditor has picked up some opportunities to improve the process, and that is what has been taken on board, and we are looking to improve all our elements of risk and all through policy, that is the case. So therefore, in reviewing the history, it has been rare, and that's why it's received a low risk score.
Yeah, I'm just questioning why put based on the history with existing controls.
Through the chair, because that is what we can, those are tangible things that we can look at and provide evidence of. We obviously cannot predict things that have not happened yet, hence why we're trying to put in a strong policy to protect the organisation through these policies from a through corporate credit card use, fraud, corruption prevention, obviously in regards to protecting whistleblowers.
Yes, Mr. Chair, myself, I'd have it as a possible, even maybe unlikely, not a rare one.
Through the chair, I suppose I have to ask that almost with a question. What examples are there that there has been corporate credit card fraud, corruption prevention, and any issues with whistleblower at the moment? So, you know, the history that we're going on is based on evidence, and that is why it's been scored at that level. You know, perception of it is one thing. The reality of what is actually reported is rare to date. The implementation of these policies is to strengthen them further, so it remains at a very, very rare level moving forward into the future. And I know that through the chair, and obviously this has been workshopped of recent times as well.
I still disagree with it because the auditor highlighted there was credit card problems with this organisation.
So I'll take that as a statement. Do you have a question?
I can see that. See what the auditor puts down. I can't get into the details of what the auditor saw because I can't see it myself.
Question, Mr. Hamill.
Not a question. I'm just.
It's points of clarification.
Clarification. Thank you. And clarification.
And I'm happy for the officers to answer your questions.
Okay. Then based on the history, I don't think I can support this motion.
Do you have any? Other questions, Mr. Adams?
I just want to ask a question.
Mr. Whitman.
That is, we know there's always that with any sort of financial transaction and the level of it, right, or the number of occurrences, there's likely to be a risk. We identified what that risk is in terms of percentage terms of revenue or expenditure?
Sorry, through the chair, I didn't quite...
Oh, I'm just trying to say, I don't have a disagreement with what you're saying here. It's just that I'd like to see what the facts that you're relying upon are. When you say that there's a lack of history. Now, there is a history, but it's not very strong, right? Just wondering what that level is.
Through the chair, happy to attempt to answer that question. We actually had, under risk assessment, the very first off when we were drafting this report, the risk of credit card theft. We actually had that as a risk. And we actually went through our corporate knowledge and actually tried to find someone in the building that actually said, right, when was the last time we've had credit card theft or corruption? The answer was none. We've got improvement opportunities to our credit card policy. That's a given. Our auditors have said improve your policy. That's a given. That's what we're doing. But credit card theft has never occurred in this organisation that we're aware of. So the rarity of that is a given. It's rare. No known examples. However, that aside, the risk we actually changed, not that you knew that without me telling you, the risk we actually came up with was that the policies are not adopted. Mm-hmm. That's the risk. Mm-hmm. There is a risk about credit card theft, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But the risk here is that you don't adopt a policy. That's a bigger risk.
Yeah, I apologize.
So let's put that in context.
That's right.
So the risk of not adopting a credit card policy is that you might have $10,000 stolen. Mm-hmm. There are bigger risks for this organization than $10,000, make no mistake. $10,000 is insignificant on your threshold. That might sound obscure or strange, but you've got bigger risks to manage, bigger financial risks. Don't get me wrong, credit card theft is a very perceived as being, and is fraudulent activity, something that needs to be managed and mitigated with policies. But the risk theme that we've identified is that you don't adopt the policies of recommended. Our view is that that's rare, because you would like to adopt the policies. And the risk consequence, if you don't, is arguably minor, because you've already got procedures in place. So I get that risk analysis is a subjective art. And even our staff are new in terms of framing up risk and consequences and the like. And I get that you guys have a different perspective on the risks that relate to this. But we've chosen one theme only. We could have chosen 20 themes in this particular context. Certainly three we could have chosen. We've gone with the overview of the risk is that you don't adopt the policies.
And just as an obviously, which reflects to not adopting what the auditors have recommended, which is about improvement.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have any other points of clarification?
In the last workshop, we talked about setting a hyperlink for all these legislation and policies that should be available to that way for easy access of those people reading these documents. It's got to be an active hyperlink. Will that still be the case? Through the chair, sorry.
Yes, I would suggest that after we adopt the policies, then the administration will create a hyperlink that people can go to and bring up the policy.
Yeah, I'm just confirming that because that was discussed in the last workshop.
I'm sure that we'll have that available to us. Any other points of clarification?
I'd really like to support the people who done the change from the workshop. It was great that I would see exactly what went on. I commend them on what they've done from that workshop.
Okay. Do I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? Move, Ms. Panganis. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Whitwell, second. Do I have any against? Mr. Atwood, against?
Yes, I'm against.
Speakers for, Ms. Panganis. Speakers for, Councillor Whitwell. Speaker against, Mr. Atwood. Ms. Panganis.
We had a lengthy discussion during the workshop, and On the basis of that, we come up with a revised policies, and I'm satisfied that the workshop captured those concerns we have. And so I'm supporting this adoption, or supporting the these policies to be presented to the council.
Councillor Bill.
Look, I think they show a certain degree of transparency. Certainly some of the points being brought up here mean that we'll be seeing how credit cards and so forth operate, which I think is, even though they might be operating very well, it's good to know just on the ground what's going on. So I think really we've got a pretty good policy here. I haven't compared it with other policies, but it looks to me as though it's getting close to what's really good. I don't think you ever get to what's really good.
I've no problem with the policies. I endorse the policy, but I'm against the assessment of the risk. We've got different terms of what the risk assessment. My risk assessment does not comply with Herbert Preparedness Papers risk. And I think that when we go to workshops on the mine sites, we all sit down and look at the risks, and we put it around the table and we say, okay, we come up with a risk assessment between us. Now, the risk assessment would be made by you. I made my risk assessment. I said, no, I disagree with number one. That's it.
Speakers for? Speakers against? Right to reply?
Can I ask a question, Mr. Atwood? So would you like us to be participant to the risk assessment?
There's no debate here. It's
no
just
debate.
Right to reply.
Okay, so.
Okay, we take it to a vote. Those in favour of passing the officer's recommendation, 12.1.1, show of hands. Those against? Okay, Mr. Atwood. So, recommendation is passed 4-1 by simple majority. Item 13, motor. Quarterly Better Practice Review, Status Update and Monthly Status of Audit, Risk and Governance Committee Decisions. Office recommendation that the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee receive the following status reports. One, the Quarterly Better Practice Review Status Update at the 5th of August 2016. Two, Monthly Status and Audit, Risk and Governance Committee Decision as at the 5th of August 2016, and three, monthly Audit, Risk and Governance Committee decision completion report as at the 5th of August 2016. It's by simple majority. Do I have any points of clarification? No points. Do I have a mover?
Yeah.
Could I just get you to state you have a point if you...
I thought you were going around the table.
No, I asked for points of clarification.
Not just so...
Okay, do I have any points of clarification?
Yeah. Yes. Let me start out with first.
Page 47. 4.2. Engage our community and stakeholders. Lead a community-orientated organisation that delivers responsive and helpful service to our customers. Got someone in mind, or
would you like to clarify that a bit more so we can understand your question?
The question is: have they identified somebody to do that?
CEO,
through the chair. Yes, everyone in the organisation has a responsibility to engage with our community and stakeholders through any programs, interactions, or events that are run. We're trying to improve that. That is obviously, this is a statement in regards to our strategic implementations of our big picture of what we're trying to achieve, and obviously what we do underneath that is through the corporate business plan in regards to the action. So that is some of the helicopter statements to undertake that work. Everybody has a responsibility to engage our community and stakeholders with whatever work they do. And that was recently highlighted by the inclusion of the Your Say Port Hedland web portal to improve our community engagement processes, which was recently shown to be very successful through the Marina Waterfront Precinct engagement work that the town undertook. So it is a statement. That statement also will be part of the review process when we go out at the end later this year for the strategic community plan in regards to reframing, if required, some of those big strategic visionary statements that sit within that document.
So, just for the Chair, do I take this quarterly better practice review update? What pages are they on?
Attachments.
Yeah, attachment 1 to item 12.1.2.
Top of 1.2, right?
Yeah.
And we've got this detailed with the monthly completion, right? It's all sort of got lines through. Where does it go to from there?
See. Through the Chair. So once it's got the lines through it, it's finished. It is left recorded that it's been completed, but it's obviously, if you wanted to resort that, you'd put your actioned items towards the bottom with a line through them, still identifying that they've been actioned, but obviously you push the other items still to be actioned towards the top of the pile, so to speak, depending how you want to sort or view them. It could be by date, it could be by the updates, priorities, or in regards to completed, non-completed. So that's just been presented in one particular format at this present time, but obviously, depending on how the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee would like to receive the information, it can be adjusted.
I'd like to see, okay, with local government audit framework and audit work plan, right, you know, it was completed sort of thing. I'd like to see a matrix up there that, yes, it was done, such and such a date sort of thing, so in the future, you know, yes, it was done on back in whichever data was done sort of thing, rather than having a line through it, we don't see it again.
Through the Chair, you know, we can present the information in a way that benefits the ease of the ARG to review in future. Mm. As with most things that do get completed, you know, they do get archived and put away as a history of what has been done. As I said before, if you want an exhaustive list of everything that is currently being completed, that can be provided. Again, this is just all extra little pieces of work until we obviously get down to the level of information that ARG require or would like to see. So again, there's an opportunity to, sorry, I'll just defer for a moment.
Just through the Chair, I was just going to say, just in terms of the business improvement plan report as an example, so we've obviously got various columns there, so the recommendation and then the update. So the update, as an example, let's pick number 2, which says develop a policy and procedure to guide and formalise practices, etc. So we've said complete, and then what we've actually done in regards to that. So an internal operating procedure has been distributed to all staff and elected members on the 16th of May. So is that the type of detail that you're chasing, Mr. Atwood?
Just through the Chair, I see you've got council or committee decision, right? We've supported the decision go to the council. I'd like to see a date where the council has endorsed and it becomes a policy, so that we know, you know, and maybe putting a policy, a date behind the policy number sort of thing, so that in future, in 12 months time, we can look back and say, oh yeah, we've done it then sort of thing.
So through the Chair, we can do that through hyperlink. We could actually put in a hyperlink to the council resolution, because we actually have a resolutions table that'll make that'll stop duplication. That can just link us through to that resolution, so you've got a future link back to what was actually adopted by council.
So just we'll have a working plan as they go. We sat down here. I'll take, for example, the audit, the internal audit. We endorsed that sort of thing, went through the council, and you know, we haven't seen that that is back to us as a committee that's endorsed. We've got no paperwork used. Some of the stuff just got a line through it.
Yeah,
see what
so
I'm getting
sorry,
at?
I was just going to say, through the chair, that's certainly what should be included in the status of ARG decisions, sorry, the monthly completion report. So it may not be, I'm just trying to find an example, but that's certainly what should be included in
yes.
the officer status
so
column.
Attachment, yeah. So it is in there. So, I have seen them before. So, Mr. Atwood, they are being included in the agenda, attachment 2.
Yeah, this I was just talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But once they've got 100% done, they're scratched off sort of thing.
Well, if they're finished, they will be removed, so we don't have a big list of 300 pages, I'd say, in
yeah,
the agenda.
What I'm saying is if we've got a matrix that's behind showing what's been completed, what's in the process of being completed sort of thing.
So yeah. Through the chair, we might show a little practical example while we've got everyone's attention on this.
So through the chair, if we may, using the BPR, Better Practice Review, as one example only, if Tammy, you filter the view to 100% complete and remove the 100% complete and have everything other than complete, okay? Now the view includes scrolling down, collapse it please, Tammy, just collapse the view. So you can collapse the view to just see BPR. BPR has, you know, how many items are where there, Tammy, on that collapsed view of BPR? Sorry, how many?
33.
Okay. So there's 33 items on the BPR, but if we collapse the view of BPR again, it disappears from view. We expand it again, we just see BPR, and the filter shows all the things that are incomplete, okay?
Mm.
And the officer's comment goes to our commentary. The date schedule goes to date schedule. The responsible officer obviously is there. We're still doing some priority work. It's still a work in progress. But the percentage complete, whilst occasionally we might show you the, we'd prefer to show you a clean view, if you will, a view of the things that are incomplete. However, you might want to say to us in a year's time, can you please prove to us, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing our achievements over the year. Well, then we go over there and let's just look at all the completeds, please, Tammy. Filter it to view, only select 100%, only select 100%. We want to see just what we've done for the year. So at any one time, the history, the audit is always there. We just filter it from view so that we have a clean, collapsed version such that we can focus on what's critical and priority, but we can always go back if required.
So, Jim, maybe an idea of that is take the crossing out and put it into a different font and different, you know, colour sort of thing.
We can certainly do that as well, but our normal process at present, we've got about 20 of these worksheets across the organisation.
Yeah.
Our process at present, our preferred practice for consistency is that we go with crossed out and we filter it from view. But we can play with that if the whole idea of being crossed out doesn't gel as being something that looks like it's been done. And you'd like some other process, then we can play with that. But off the bat, my personal view is that crossed out and filtering it allows us to get on with the things that we really need to concentrate on, but provides the audit trail that you guys would like to have and us to demonstrate where we've been, where we've come from.
So just through the chair, going on the ones that are up there, the, why have we only got one yellow up there?
One red?
One yellow.
Sorry, where's the yellow?
There, right.
Oh, so priority. As I briefly said, you may have missed it. We haven't. Because there's something like 160 different things. There's only what 37 or so on the BPR. We really haven't got to the detail yet of actually prioritising, allocating priorities and the like. There's a whole host of things for us to do in this field. There's 170 things that ARG have got to look at. We've got to prioritise that collectively. And it's really early days in terms of that priority setting. We don't have the resource yet necessarily either.
Yeah.
So just through you again with the yellow code there, so you got what are the different other colour codes at all?
So Tammy, you've got examples there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we can change that to radius buttons. We can change that to whatever we want to look like. But at present, we've gone with that as an option only. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, just questioning what's in the system.
Okay. Just a point of. Are you finished, Mr. Atwood?
No, you're going to go. I've got another couple there.
Okay. Just on that point about priority, I think it will be a good idea if to actually rank it according to risk. Maybe that's one option that you can consider. And also, you mentioned about allocation of resources. Maybe we should also include something there. Have we got a budget for this particular activity, you know? And about the completion date, that is the target completion date. The date when it's actually completed is probably another column that you can consider. That's percentage complete. Expected completions, if you note item 8 or 9, due in 30th of the 7th, is still outstanding, 50% complete. I think we should probably put a date there when it's actually completed. That's probably a good way to actually sort of assess your performance in terms of achieving your milestones and then completing it on time. What I'd like to probably see as well, if there are high-risk areas there, then we probably can consider putting some measures in place to mitigate the risk, especially for, you know, while these things are developing, what's actually in place. I think that's, through the chair, I think that's something that we can work on. But that's a very good, I think I'm impressed with this one. But I think adding a little bit more will help improve the presentation of the information here. Be
so
very important.
Spangas, would you like to, put that forward to CEO so they can have a look at that, so we can implement it?
Yeah, I'm happy to provide all those things because
CEO,
very,
yeah.
Very,
yeah, look,
very,
chair,
very good document.
All the feedback, and don't be fooled by just what you see. It's very expandable, which obviously can. Providing a condensed version so you get the idea. Those extra columns are easy to pull in and out. Obviously we can also, that's a number of the smart sheets that we utilise. Obviously we'll also have another one in regards to the risk management aspects as well, as a separate sheet. So those elements can actually all be incorporated. So we will be, not called smart sheet for no reason. So
but very good.
So obviously, again, that's an example. But look, if at a future time you don't want to see it in its workability through a future workshop, then obviously we're more than happy to run through what the administration how they deal with it on a daily basis, just so you've got an understanding of how we use it as well in the actual day-to-day work environment.
Thank you.
Any other points of clarification, Mr. Abbott?
Just through the chair, with the priority, can we sit down and as a combined effort and sort of say, okay, myself and Ms. Pandanus, we're out in the community sort of thing, and there's some stuff that we can see out there that maybe you people don't in here see. I think sometimes we need to sit down and say, okay, I know my priority is different than your priority sort of thing, but let's sit down and stretch it out around the table like we did with talking about the internal auditor sort of thing. Because I think that, you know, we need to compress which I feel is a high priority, may not be a high priority for you sort of thing.
CEO, are we able to discuss that in a workshop?
Through the chair, absolutely, and obviously to not sound too cliche, but you know, your priorities are really our priorities if they are obviously endorsed as being a key thing that we need to focus on by council and obviously as a community member as well. It's really important that community involvement and that local governance is a core part of helping direct the council and therefore the administration and what is deliverable and service levels through to risk, through to all the different elements of our business. So more than happy to obviously in the future to be able to sort of work through that with the ARG committee to get your input and insight into those areas.
Yes, it's great seeing the whole thing up there. I think it's fantastic work what they've done, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just I had the problem with the lines through that sort, and I think we need to sort that out. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. Lines as well.
Just through the chair, if that's okay. It is a very, very quick line of sight acknowledgement when you're operating on a daily basis that it has been completed. It is a visual aid rather than being it not being important. So when you are dealing with it on a daily basis, it is a nice, quick, I suppose, visual cue that that is something that has been done. So. From a visual perspective and a daily working perspective, it is helpful, but obviously we can adjust that if it's deemed to be a benefit elsewhere.
Okay. Have any other points of clarification? No points. Do I have a mover in the officer's recommendation? Move, Ms. Panginis. Do I have a seconder? I'll second that. Do I have any against? No against? Motion is passed. 5-0. Point 12.2.1, community funding and donations update for the period 1st of April to the 30th of June 2016. Do I have any points of clarification? Mr. Apple.
Page 50. I see that your expenditure is not done on a quarterly basis. First one is 2 months, 2 months, 5 months, 3 months. Is there some sort of set pattern we can get in place that it is quarterly now? Or what is the difference with this reporting here?
What is the requirement? See ya.
Through the chair, I might just quickly defer that to the acting director.
I'm not sure why we've got that reporting. It's certainly we could bring it back to quarterly reporting. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That's, yeah.
Now, just at 5 months, it comes up to 22, sort of thing.
Yeah,
and the rest are down to six and things. So, but if it might have been quarter, it might be different. I don't know.
But the bottom line
is
the same. The bottom line hasn't changed in terms of the figures. But yeah, I'm sorry, I can't clarify that any further in terms of why those dates were there. But they should be quarterly reporting, so that will be amended.
So that's going on the fees and waivers as well, sort of thing? Can we bring it back to quarterly as well?
Same. Yeah, that's just defer it back to.
Sorry, that was the second question. Sorry, through this.
The second question is the second yellow.
Through the chair, obviously, we can bring that back to being clear quarterly expenditure against the those GLs.
Any other points of clarification? No points?
So at the end of the financial year, the balance is 14,000 up there?
Through the chair.
As of the.
So through the chair, that the closing balance in the financial year was for donations to the community was still 14,246.03, and for the GL one, which is community and kind fee waivers, was still 558.842.
So through the chair, with this budget for next year, will it be reduced by 14,000 to keep it back to 70,000, or will you reduce the budget back to 60,000 because they haven't spent up to, they've only spent 60,000?
Look, through the chair, it's a good point. Some years we go over that allocation, other years we don't. It all depends on the community wants to come up. There were obviously a couple of elements, and currently now in the new financial year, we're actually working under the new policy as well. So that does allow for some increases in some of the allocations. Obviously, there is the partnerships element as well. So that is something that might be considered by council during the budget, or it may be stay as, or might even be a consideration to increase the allocations. That's a council decision.
So the council allocates the amount that's funded, regardless whether there is a surplus or a deficit in that area.
Sir Chair, what I'm asking is, okay, we as a committee say, okay, they've only spent $60,000 this year, shouldn't the budget reduce to $60,000 next year, sort of thing? Will it be reduced down to so that that $14,000 goes into back to 60, so it's less money they've got to find for it?
It is a recommendation that the Audit, Risk and Governance could put forward to the council, but I vaguely remember this coming to the Audit, Risk and Governance when we first came on. And we did look at this funding, policy and amounts that was presented to council. And is that
we did not have the last quarter.
I'm talking about the total funding per year.
So yeah, through the chair, as my recollection, I can't remember, was it a committee or a workshop where we actually did talk through the policy was being prepared, and obviously there was a discussion around the different types of allocations, because there was the donations to community, there was the in-kind. There's also the partnership elements as well, which is a much larger contribution over a three-year period. $15,000 per year for 3 years is the maximum amount. So there is consideration around obviously those elements as being part of the wider pool for application by the community. The opportunity, as I mentioned before, can differ from year to year, depending on the applications that come in and obviously what the town supports, and obviously even on the one-offs, if it's outside the delegated process through the policy, they do come back to council for consideration, and we have some over recent times. I think the last one was a $5,000 donation that went for the speedway, went straight to council for their consideration.
So, through the chair, what we questioned last time was each individual getting funding under banner, and had the council made a policy on that yet, or what?
It has been adopted, yes.
So, this is a policy we need to see at this table, sir, isn't it?
Policy is on the council website. It's been passed.
And what it says is, it was on our matrix. We know it's passed, or, and it wouldn't be questioning this stuff here.
So through the chair, this is the finish of last year. This is under the old policy. The new policy has been adopted for the new financial year, which obviously you haven't seen the information for us yet.
Okay.
So this is under the old policy.
Okay. Any other points of clarification? No points. Do I have a mover in the officer's recommendation? Do I have a mover?
No.
Councillor Whitwell, do I have a seconder? Ms. Pangans, thank you. Do I have any against? No against? Motion is passed 5-0. Item 13, motions of which previous notice have been given. They're nil. Item 14, a new business of an urgent nature. There is nil. Item 15, matter for which meeting may be closed, confidential matters. There is nil. Item 16, closure.
We can talk about this, or?
No, we are not. So I close the meeting at 7:50.
It's only for information. It's a late document.
Thanks, this everyone, for coming.
This will be part of the next agenda.
6:50.
Hold on.
Yes.
An hour away from us. Oh, I was expecting 9:50.
Well, yeah, I could have gone along if you wanted to.
6:50, we close. Thanks, everyone.